Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name is Aaron, and I've been an avid camper most of my life. There's something about being out in the wilderness, away from the chaos of the world, that clears my head. Or at least, that used to be the case. Last fall, something happened that made me reconsider camping alone, maybe for good. It was early November, the time of year when the woods are cold but not unbearable. I'd taken a few days off work to camp in a remote area of the Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania. I'd been to the forest before, but this time, I wanted to try a spot farther off the beaten path. After parking my car at a small gravel lot, I hiked about 5 miles into the woods. By late afternoon, I found a clearing near a creek that seemed perfect, secluded, quiet, and surrounded by tall pines. I set up my tent, gathered some firewood, and settled in for the evening. The first couple of hours were uneventful. I cooked dinner over the fire, leaned back in my chair, and let the sounds of the forest wash over me. By 9 p.m., the temperature had dropped sharply, and the darkness around me felt heavier than usual. It wasn't eerie, exactly. Just quiet. I decided to take a short walk before calling it a night. I grabbed my flashlight and followed a faint trail that wound through the trees. The beam of light cut through the darkness, revealing nothing but the occasional rock or fallen branch. But about 50 yards from my campsite, the light caught something unusual. There were markings on the ground. At first, I thought they were just scuffs or scratches from animals. But as I got closer, I realized they were deliberate. Symbols, crudely drawn in the dirt, spiraled in strange, chaotic patterns. Some looked like runes, while others were unfamiliar shapes that made no sense to me. I knelt down to get a better look and noticed something else. Small, charred fragments scattered around the markings. Bones. They looked like they'd been burned, the edges blackened and brittle. A chill ran through me. I told myself it was probably the remains of an old campfire, maybe some kids messing around. But deep down, I knew something felt off. I turned back toward my campsite, suddenly hyper-aware of how isolated I was. The woods felt different now, like they were holding their breath. When I got back to my tent, I stoked the fire and tried to shake off the unease. I told myself I was overthinking it, but then, just as I was starting to relax, I heard it. Voices, faint at first, almost like the wind, but unmistakably human. They were coming from the direction of the trail I'd just been on. I froze, straining to make out the words, but they were too far away. There was a rhythmic quality to the sound, like chanting. I doused the fire immediately, plunging my campsite into darkness. My heart was pounding as I grabbed my flashlight and switched it off, not wanting to draw attention. The voices grew louder. Whoever they were getting closer. I crouched behind a fallen log near my tent, trying to stay out of sight. That's when I saw the lights. Dim, flickering orbs of orange moving through the trees. Torches. There were at least 6 or 7 of them, carried by figures in dark clothing. They moved in a slow, deliberate line, their chanting low and guttural. I couldn't make out their faces, but their movements were precise, almost rehearsed. They stopped about 30 yards from my campsite, right where I'd seen the markings on the ground. One of them, a tall figure with something draped over their shoulders, animal fur maybe, stepped into the center of the group and raised their arms. The chanting stopped. The silence that followed was suffocating. I pressed myself flat against the ground, barely breathing, as the tall figure began to speak. His voice was deep and commanding, but the words were in a language I didn't recognize. He gestured toward the symbols on the ground, and the others began to move around him, forming a circle. What happened next still haunts me. One of the figures stepped forward, carrying what looked like a bundle wrapped in cloth. They placed it in the center of the circle, and the chanting resumed, louder, more frenzied. Then they set it on fire. The flames roared to life, illuminating their faces for the first time. They wore masks, grotesque, animal-like masks with twisted horns and snarling mouths. I must have shifted slightly because a branch under me cracked. The chanting stopped. Every head turned in my direction. For a moment, I thought my heart had stopped too. The tall figure barked something, and 2 of the torchbearers started moving toward me. Their torches cast long shadows through the trees, and I could hear their footsteps crunching on the leaves. I slipped my pack over my shoulder and crawled as silently as I could toward the opposite side of the clearing. When I felt like I had enough distance, I bolted. I didn't care about the noise anymore. I just ran. My legs burned, and my lungs felt like they were going to explode, but I didn't stop until I reached the gravel lot where my truck was parked. I scrambled inside, locked the doors, and started the engine. As the headlights lit up the trailhead, I saw movement in the trees, dark figures watching me from the shadows. I didn't stick around to see what they'd do next. I drove straight to the nearest town and spent the rest of the night in a diner, sipping bad coffee and trying to convince myself it was all a bad dream. The next morning, I reported what I'd seen to the local authorities. They sent a couple of rangers to check the area, but they didn't find anything. No markings, no fire, no signs of the group. I know what I saw, and I know I was lucky to get out of there alive. My name is Emily, and this happened 3 summers ago when I was 25. My best friend Sarah and I had decided to go on a weekend camping trip to celebrate her birthday. We'd been talking about doing something adventurous for months, and with the weather being perfect in late July, it seemed like the ideal time to finally go. We picked a spot in a state park about 2 hours from our town. It was secluded enough to feel like we were escaping the city, but still close enough to get help if we needed it. Or so we thought. We arrived late Saturday afternoon, parked the car, and hiked about 2 miles into the woods to find the perfect campsite. The spot we chose was beautiful, nestled between tall pines with a small clearing where we could set up the tent and a fire pit already built by previous campers. By the time we pitched the tent and got a fire going, the sun was setting, painting the sky in shades of orange and pink. We sat by the fire, eating s'mores and laughing about how we were roughing it with our overpacked bags full of snacks and gadgets. Everything felt perfect. But as the night fell, the woods around us grew darker and quieter. The sounds of birds and rustling leaves were replaced by a thick silence, broken only by the occasional crack of a twig. Around 10 p.m., we were sitting by the fire when Sarah suddenly froze. "Did you hear that?" she whispered. I stopped mid-laugh and listened. At first, I didn't hear anything, but then there it was, a faint sound like footsteps coming from somewhere behind us. "It's probably just an animal," I said, trying to convince both of us. Sarah nodded, but she looked uneasy. We went back to chatting, but the mood had shifted. Every time the fire crackled or the wind rustled the trees, we jumped. About an hour later, we decided to call it a night. We put out the fire, zipped ourselves into the tent, and settled into our sleeping bags. That's when it started. At first, it was faint. What sounded like someone walking around the campsite. The crunch of leaves and snapping twigs grew louder, circling the tent. "Do you hear that?" Sarah whispered, her voice trembling. I nodded, heart pounding. "Probably just a deer," I said, but I didn't believe it. The footsteps stopped right outside the tent. We both held our breath, frozen in place. Then came the sound of something, or someone, dragging across the nylon fabric of the tent. Sarah grabbed my arm, squeezing so hard it hurt. "What do we do?" she mouthed. I didn't have an answer. My mind was racing. Should we yell, run, stay silent? Before I could decide, the sound moved to the back of the tent, and then, nothing. The footsteps were gone. We waited for what felt like hours, clutching each other in the dark, straining to hear anything outside. But the woods were completely silent again. Eventually, exhaustion took over, and we drifted into a restless sleep. Around 3 a.m., I woke up to the sound of Sarah whispering my name. "Emily," she said, her voice shaking. "There's someone outside." I opened my eyes, my heart immediately racing again. "Are you sure?" I whispered back. She nodded, pointing to the faint shadow of a figure on the side of the tent, illuminated by the moonlight. I felt my stomach drop. Whoever it was, they were standing perfectly still, just feet away from us. My hands fumbled for my phone, and I realized with a sinking feeling that I had no service. "We need to get to the car," Sarah whispered. "How?" I mouthed back, knowing we'd have to unzip the tent to get out, and whoever was out there would hear us. We sat there, paralyzed, as the figure finally moved, walking slowly around the tent. Then we heard the unmistakable sound of something being dragged, a heavy scraping noise that made my skin crawl. "What is that?" Sarah whispered, tears streaming down her face. "I don't know," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. The dragging sound stopped, and then everything went quiet again. After a few minutes that felt like hours, I decided we couldn't just sit there. I grabbed the small camping knife I'd packed, though it felt laughably inadequate, and motioned for Sarah to follow me. "We're going to run," I whispered. "Straight to the car. Don't look back." She nodded, clutching her flashlight. I unzipped the tent as quietly as I could, praying the sound wouldn't give us away. The clearing was empty, but the fire pit looked different, like someone had scattered the rocks around. We bolted. I've never run so fast in my life, and I don't think Sarah had either. The path was barely visible in the moonlight, but we didn't stop. About halfway to the car, we heard it again, footsteps, this time running after us. "Don't stop!" I shouted, adrenaline taking over. We burst out of the woods and into the parking area, fumbling with the keys to unlock the car. Sarah jumped into the passenger seat while I scrambled into the driver's side. As I started the car, the headlights lit up the trailhead, and for a split second, I saw him. A man, standing at the edge of the woods, holding something long and sharp. I slammed on the gas, speeding out of the lot and down the empty road. We didn't stop until we reached a gas station about 20 miles away. Shaking, we called the police and told them what happened. They said they'd send someone to check the campsite, but I never heard back from them. To this day, I have no idea who that man was or what he wanted. But I'll never forget the way he stood there, just watching us as we drove away. Sarah and I haven't been camping since. And honestly, I don't think we ever will again. My name's Ethan, and this happened about a year ago. I'm 29 now, and camping has always been my way of getting some space to clear my head. I love the peace, the solitude, and the disconnect from the chaos of everyday life. But after what happened that night, I haven't camped alone since. It was late October, and I'd taken a couple of days off work to head into the forest near Blue Ridge, Georgia. I'd been to the area a few times before, but this trip was a little more remote than usual. I wanted to really get away, so I picked a spot about 3 miles off the main trail. I got there in the early afternoon, parked my car at a designated area just off the dirt road, and hiked to a clearing surrounded by tall pines. It was perfect, quiet, secluded, and far enough away from anyone else that I wouldn't be bothered. By sunset, I had my tent set up, a fire crackling, and a small pot of chili warming over the flames. I ate, leaned back in my camping chair, and let the forest sounds wash over me. The occasional hoot of an owl, the rustling of leaves. It was the kind of quiet that felt alive. Around 9 p.m., the air started to get chilly, so I added another log to the fire and grabbed my flashlight to walk the perimeter of my campsite. It's something I always do, just to make sure there aren't any animals lurking nearby. Everything seemed normal, until I glanced toward the direction of my car. Through the trees, about 100 yards away, I could just barely see the faint outline of my car parked in the clearing. For a second, I thought I saw a light flash from it, but when I focused, everything looked dark again. I shook it off, thinking it must have been my imagination or the moonlight catching on the windshield. Still, it left me with a weird feeling, like I wasn't as alone as I thought. I went back to my fire, poked at it for a while, and eventually crawled into my tent. I zipped myself into my sleeping bag and tried to relax, but that uneasy feeling lingered. Around midnight, I was jolted awake by a sound, 3 sharp beeps, like a car being locked or unlocked. My heart dropped. It came from the direction of my car. I sat up, my breathing shallow, and listened. The forest was dead silent now. No wind, no animals, just the faint ringing in my ears from how quiet it was. I grabbed my flashlight and knife, unzipped the tent, and stepped out into the cold night. The fire had died down to glowing embers, casting just enough light to see the immediate area. Then I saw it. A quick flash of light, like the headlights on my car flicking on for a split second before going dark again. Someone was at my car. Every instinct screamed at me to stay put, but curiosity, or stupidity, got the better of me. I moved slowly toward the tree line, keeping low, my flashlight off to avoid giving away my position. As I got closer, I could see the car more clearly. The driver's side door was closed, and the interior was dark. Everything looked normal. Then I saw it. A face, pale and motionless, staring out from the driver's seat. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. At first, I thought it might be a reflection, but the longer I stared, the more I realized it wasn't. There was someone inside my car. The face didn't move, didn't blink. It just stared straight ahead, as if waiting for something. I backed up slowly, careful not to make a sound, but the crack of a twig under my boot gave me away. The face turned. It didn't look at me. It looked through me, like I wasn't even there. Panic took over. I turned and sprinted back to my campsite, my flashlight bouncing wildly as I ran. I didn't stop until I was back by the fire, breathing hard, clutching the knife like it would actually do something against whatever that was. I crouched by the fire, my eyes darting between the tent and the trees, half expecting to see that face emerge from the darkness, but nothing happened. After what felt like hours, I convinced myself to take another look at the car. Maybe it was my imagination, or a trick of the light. Maybe the stress of being out here alone was getting to me. I inched back toward the tree line, my flashlight off, keeping as quiet as I could. When I got close enough to see the car again, my blood ran cold. The driver's side door was wide open. I didn't even think. I turned and ran back to my campsite, grabbed my pack and my keys, and bolted for the trail. I didn't care about the tent or the fire. I just needed to get out of there. The hike back to the car felt like a nightmare. Every shadow, every sound made my heart race. When I finally reached the clearing, the car looked empty. The door was still open, but there was no sign of anyone or anything. I climbed in, locked the doors, and started the engine. As the headlights lit up the clearing, I caught one last glimpse of something moving in the trees. A flash of pale skin and dark eyes watching me before disappearing into the shadows. I didn't stick around to find out what it was. I drove straight to the nearest gas station and spent the rest of the night in the parking lot, my doors locked and my knife in my lap. To this day, I have no idea who or what that face belonged to. All I know is that I'll never camp alone again. And every time I get into my car, I check the backseat first, just in case.